Hello and welcome to another episode of the CG Garage. This is episode number 269, featuring Lauren Mayer-Bug, who I have known for years. She's actually a creative director over at Chapeau Studios, but has done some absolutely incredible things. Kristen, I've known her for years and years. In fact, she, when I first met her, she was an intern. and so she was my first, big job as a supervisor. And it was, and she was my intern on that job. And I saw, she is so talented. And now look what she's done, right?
I know. It was amazing listening, like literally everything we've seen, we've probably seen her work.
Yeah. Oscars. Mm-hmm. To like all the Apple Watch ads, yeah, with the butterflies. She did all the butterflies for the Apple Watch ads. She did a bunch of stuff for Beats. And I mean, mm-hmm, it's really, you can just hear her whole history, and she's extraordinarily humble as well.
Oh, yeah. And you guys also touch, as I mentioned earlier to you, about the being a visual effects supervisor on set as a woman. Guys got into that, and that was awesome, just hearing her point of view from it. And
the challenges that has. Yeah, yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you know, and you can hear it in my voice, and I'm sorry, but I'm naive about it. So I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that's an issue, because to me, it's not an issue because I'm a guy and I obviously look like a visual effects guy. So I walk in and people is like, that guy's going to know what's going on. Right. But when she walks in and she knows she's young, she's a woman, she's with it. They're like, oh, you must be wardrobe. I was like, oh, the assumptions, you know, yeah, like. So anyway, she's really talented and obviously a very, very, very good person. This was the first one that you and I recorded remotely for our series, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've been using the Squadcast thing. Squadcast has been doing a pretty good job. Her audio is a little bit, not quite what we have in the studios, but mm-hmm, she's totally understandable. So, which is really great. I would say that if you guys want to do a podcast now that we're doing them remotely, we can do a lot more. In fact, I recorded one yesterday from Switzerland. I wasn't in Switzerland, obviously, but my guest was, and it turned out really good as well. So, we're going to continue to do these, obviously, when we can. Once this whole pandemic starts to die down, I will want to go back to doing things in person, because I do think that offers something to connect. But for right now, this system is going to work for us. So I'm excited. And Kristen has been working diligently at getting me some awesome guests. So I'm excited about that. Thank you, Kristen.
Yeah.
One thing I want to mention at the beginning of the podcast, when we were sort of joking around before everything got started, I did mention to Lauren that I had been sneaking away and going fishing in the mornings. I will note that was before people start to realize that they should go outside, and then overwhelmed the beaches and the trails, which now I actually don't go fishing anymore because I am taking it more responsibly. But back when I was going fishing, when I talked about it with Lauren, I was on a big beach in Malibu and I was literally the only person there. So I definitely felt like I was being a responsible social distancer. But now that I hear the rumors of what's going on the beaches, I'm being much more responsible and not actually going to do that stuff, which sucks because I love fishing and my wife loves hiking, and pretty much everyone's ruining that for everyone. Mm-hmm. Are you able to get some exercise, Kristen?
Yeah, I mean, I live right next to the beach, so sometimes I can get out there. But yeah, there's that one thing I saw, people before this, they're all on their iPhones and stuff. And then people during this, they're all outside. I'm like, life switched.
Yeah.
It's like when you're forced to stay inside, everyone tries to get outside. So it's been busy.
Yeah. People may actually come out of this being healthier.
I think so.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. Obviously, you want to say a couple of things. We're all very diligent here at Chaos Group and working through this situation. Please go to our website because we're going to be having announcements about certain things and things we can do to help our community through this process. Those announcements are going to be coming, and they're changing and they're happening on a on a live basis. So just go to chaosgroup.com and go to our blog section, or just go right there on our front page. We should have announcements about what we can do to help you guys out during this situation, and what are some of the things that we can do. So please go check that out. Any other announcements we want to make?
I don't think so. Not at the moment. Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, as with most things, we don't really have any events going on because pretty much there are no events. Everything got canceled, including, unfortunately, Total Chaos. But we will, I'm sure, figure out how we can reconnect and do things in person. At some point, we will need to see each other in person, so that would be great. But in the meantime, if you would like to continue to follow the podcast, where can they do that, Kristen?
You can go to facebook.com/CG Garage Podcast or chaosgroup.com/CG Garage.
Great. And if you have any ideas, if you'd like to do, guests you'd like to have or be a guest or anything like that, especially now that we're being a lot more flexible in terms of where our guests are coming from, just let us know. And they can email us where?
At labs@chaosgroup.com.
Perfect. Thank you, Kristen. With that, please enjoy my fabulous guest, Lauren Marabud.
Welcome to another CG Garage, where the Chaos Group talks. You'll know it's over when the last bucket drops. We're gonna fire off rays in high dynamic range. We know that ambient occlusion is passe. Global illumination won't lead you astray. And while image-based lighting is really swell, you need to make sure everything has Fresnel.
All right, Lauren. So are you stuck at home too?
I am.
Yeah, it's been, so I have to admit, I did a, play a little hooky today.
Nice.
I took advantage of the low traffic early in the morning, and I went fishing in Malibu for a little bit.
You do that? That's a thing? I didn't even know it was a thing.
Yeah, I started awesome. Picking up fly fishing, and then I decided to fly fish in the surf. It's really hard, and I don't catch any fish, but it's a lot of fun just to like get away for a little bit. And I figured it's safe, right? There's no one on the beach.
And it's been raining, so it's probably clean, I think.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's that was the thing that kind of like scared me is the rain. But anyway, it's been what it has been. But let's give people a little bit of a history here. You and I have known each other for long time, right? Like
yeah.
We're looking at 12 years, maybe. You were at Sway. More. Yeah, I guess it must be because Lily was a baby.
Yeah.
And she's going to high school next year.
Now I feel old. Oh my gosh.
But you were, I believe, an intern at Sway when we started.
I started as an intern, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was fresh out of school and I had interned at DD, so that's how I met a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And eventually ended up at Sway, but I was like, I still don't know what I want to do, but this whole VFX thing is really cool. So yeah.
Where did you go to school? How did that all start?
I went to school at RISD.
You went to RISD. Okay. Up in Rhode Island.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And it was very fun. And I originally went for thinking I would go into illustration.
Right.
That's what I did my whole life was drawing and painting and all that stuff. And then I discovered animation. I mean, I had thought about it, but it wasn't a thing until I got there. I was like, oh, this is awesome. And that kind of snowballed into what became digital media. So I became very experimental there, but I really liked the idea of visual effects and it was all new. And, so then when I came to DD as an intern, I kind of got all facets of the industry.
Right,
so I just cherry picked.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. But you, when I met you, you were really kind of focused on compositing. That was the thing that you were very good at, right? Not so much 3D, but it was more of a 2D thing for you, right?
Yeah, and that's always been my world, I think. I was very, I feel like I was very lucky at that time because, you know, in deciding which way I wanted to go, like producer, artist, but my heart was always in being an artist. I discovered compositing, and there were all those great guys there at Sway who taught me Nuke, you know?
Right.
And I just picked apart their scripts, and it was all kind of just there for me. So I remember that distinctly that day that I told Mark, you know, I said, I just want to do this. Like, don't pay me. I just want to learn it. In 3 months, I will learn it.
Right.
And
right.
That's what I did. Yeah. And the rest is history. But I really liked, you know, then we were really heavy in CG compositing and all that stuff and all the cars and getting paint to look perfect and was obsessed.
Yeah. I think it was my first job as a soup there was that car commercial that we did. It was a Nissan. It was the white track. Remember that?
Yep.
And we had first gone into that, and we were brand new in that building, and it didn't even really have power in the building. They had all these big junction boxes of power that were like these big cables
that
like coming together.
I electrocuted myself on.
That's right. I remember that. And I was like, oh, this is not good. This is not good. But they did eventually build out the office. But I remember it was at the end. We were in the last modes of delivery, and all the 3D guys had finished. And I think it was just you and I just trying to finish the show, just trying to get that, just getting it done. And just so people know, back then, what basically we were doing, it was a slew of commercials that we were giving to the car dealerships. It was basically for car dealers to be able to say, we're going to make a commercial based on every car possible. So we made like 10 commercials, essentially, out of one big set of commercials. It was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, I totally forgot that that's what it was. I just remember being like blinders on and getting it done. But that was a different era, I feel like. Even then, it doesn't seem that long ago. But the fact that we were making all of that, even running footage as well, but just those packages for the dealerships. Right. You know,
And it did well for the company, and you know, it was pretty interesting to sort of get in, focused on cars for a long time. But I still remember you were like really into compositing, and you know, I've been told, because I hadn't, you know, worked with you before, that was the first time I worked with you, that you were quote unquote an intern. I was like, she is really talented for for an intern. And I was like, this is really good. So I was really blessed to have that you know, you on the team, especially considering it was my first gig and I had to impress Mark about my stuff. And I was like, well, it's okay, I got a good team. So it was a lot of fun. But okay, so you were compositing and you were at Sway for a long time while you and I were there together for a while, right? Then you eventually started freelancing around. Is that what happened, or?
Yeah. And yeah, I found my footing, and I think I was there like 4 years, something like that. Oop, my computer went to sleep. And then I decided to go freelance just to try it. I mean, my first gig, I went back to Digital Domain for a bit for a Verizon commercial.
Okay.
And that was my first, like, I mean, we had done big productions at Sway, but that was like just thrown into the raging waters and fun.
Okay.
So I did that, and then I went to Zoic for a bit, and that was kind of a change because, you know, they do a lot of episodic work. Even then, they did.
Yep.
And I was compositing CG there for cinematics, a lot of cinematics. They were just rolling through. And then they needed help for an intro one day, and so I just made up an intro that was MoGraph, and they were like, oh, wow, wait, what?
Okay.
and that kind of steered the path. I mean, I still did CG compositing. I loved Nuke. But then once I got into the MoGraph world, that kind of clicked for me. I like this. This is really fun.
So that sort of steered you into going back to your design ideas, right?
Yeah. And
what was the intro for?
It was a massive action game, which I am not a gamer. So I was like, I'm going to make what makes sense to me and just go for it. Okay. But it was something within it. I mean, gosh, it was inside the world of, like, I don't know, it was some some chart where if you were like a gamer, you would be plotting, I don't know, your teams or something like that. So I just used it as a representative format to make my graphics.
Right.
So, but they used it for a while. Yeah, they really liked it. And that was just something on a whim that I did. And that snowballed also.
So what opportunities came from that, obviously?
Oh, man. Where did I go from there? So then I stayed there for a while, and then I ended up, you remember Nathan?
Yes,
Nathan Boltman.
Course.
So yeah. We ended up teaming up together and forming our own company, but that was around the elections. So then we went to New York and did this Obama campaign video, which was
really
fun. Yeah. So that was further enforcing the whole MoGraph thing. And that started our company for another good 4 years. And we had another partner, and we were just, it was really fun. We did a bunch of stuff like for Comcast, what else? More car commercials, a Red Bull spot, which is still used to today. Like it was super fun. A Shaun White thing. A lot of people like that.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll have to send you my reel sometime. I'm the worst self-promoter ever. We just did a bunch of those brands, and we, it was then at, I'm blanking on the name, which became Public.
Okay.
Do you remember them?
The company?
Yeah, the company, Public VFX.
Oh, I don't remember who became Public VFX.
Oh, man. Anyway.
But you started your own company, you said, right?
Yeah, so we rented space in there from them.
Oh, right.
Yeah, this it was on Market Street.
It was on Market Street. They had a bunch of motorcycles in the lobby, right? Was that the place?
That was Arsenal.
That's Arsenal.
That's okay. Later.
Yeah, that was later. Okay.
Yeah.
But what was the name of your company so people know that?
It was Carousel, but it became Demotu. So there were a lot of iterations of it. So it was Demotu. But okay. Then we teamed up with Shady FX, and we were on Rose Avenue. And we moved to the old Method building. Anyway, it was a great space. It was like a series of these really architecturally significant spaces that was nice. I'm like, oh, I feel so fancy. And now I have some big pictures on the wall.
So you were in the old Method building, the one, the big metal with yellow stuff? Oh, and that's a nice building, actually.
It was. It was really nice, next to Michael Bay, our neighbor.
Right, yeah. Bay Films is right next door.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep. Just like a hop over the roof there. And... as he would do. So what else? Yeah. And we did a bunch of stuff there, like just, you know, and it's weird because I look back and I was still really young then. So it was just, I didn't know what I was doing, you know,
right.
I felt like I did, but who knows? I was a lot of learning and, just kind of going for it and saying, you know, trying to convince clients, building teams that you can do this. We did the then, Western Mutual commercials. A lot of stuff for Nat Geo. What else? You know, the list goes on. It was a lot of stuff. It was a lot of stuff. Wow. We also worked with Shira again. So she was
She was our EP. Shira was our EP at Sway back when we first started there. So she's pretty interesting.
So anyway, all of that timing just coincided with the financial crisis. 2009-10 and it was just too hard to maintain.
Right.
So we decided to call it quits, and that's when we teamed up with Arsenal.
Okay. Yeah. And so you guys ended up in their office and sort of made your own department, right? Didn't you guys kind of do that?
Okay. Yeah, it was just kind of an instant department. We gave them all of our equipment, and we just started rolling from there, which was really cool because.
So was it kind of like a merger of sorts?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it was, they got instant VFX graphics team and we got everything else. So.
Right. And they were mostly known as a more of a flame place, right? More of a finishing flame.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right.
We hired, or maybe David's already there. Anyway, they had a CG guy there that we just kind of took under our arms and our wings and trained him, and he's booming. He's awesome, successful. Nice. And yeah, they were great clients then too. It was real. I remember it being really intense, but we had a lot of stuff with then HSI and Dr. Dre. My favorite piece there is still the Dr. Dre video. Yeah, I need a doctor.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, I souped that.
Okay.
So we put, I don't even remember the actress's name, but we shot downtown at the Edison.
Oh, and, right. Nice place.
Yep, put the model in a giant water tank.
Okay.
And had to turn her into like this ethereal oracle angel thing. And that was really fun. It was hard because, man, I mean, you can't put a human in a tank without bubbles and all of that stuff and it looking a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
So it required a lot of cleanup, a lot of flame time.
Right.
But, you know, I composited her and did the conform and all of that. There was a lot of, you know, it's a really long piece. It's like seven minutes or something like that.
7 minutes? What was
it for?
Yeah, because
it was for...
It was a music video, I'm assuming, or...
Okay. Yeah, it was a music video. And it was kind of, I mean, Dr. Dre and Eminem teamed up. I don't want to speak out of turn, but they kind of teamed up again for that one. So it seemed at the time, it seemed like a big deal, you know, because Dr. Dre had been kind of MIA for a while.
Right.
And so this was him coming back and it had a lot of its history at the beginning of the video. So it's worth a look. Yeah. It's very stylized and they have this whole, you know, Skyla Gray's career started then.
Right.
You know, her whole hook became very famous.
He's a really smart guy. I really like Dre. Really kind of, you know, he's got good vision as well, which is also pretty interesting. I remember I didn't work on the Tupac hologram thing, but I was at DD when it happened. I remember just hearing stories about how good he was at sort of collaborating with people and communicating his ideas. And he's just being very, you know, considering how talented he is, he also seems very humble at the same time.
Huh. I mean, for the 3 seconds I met him twice, you know, he was very nice, very nice, very, and like you said, very humble and just ready to go, like whatever you guys need.
That's cool.
It was nice.
That's cool. So around what time did you do that commercial?
That was 2011, 12. It was before we moved.
Okay.
So it was around 11, 12, whenever that came out. And that piece went into the Grammys for their performance then. So we had that whole side of it, you know, and organizing their stage graphics for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
that's so cool.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And while we were there, that whole time was kind of, I don't know, I look back and I get a little nostalgic about it because we also did all the, what's it called? Imagination Projects, the Ron Howard little films. You know, and they're kind of quirky, but it was part of the same group of people and souping all of those that we worked on.
Right.
It was neat meeting Ron Howard and just seeing how he interprets stuff and, oh, that's a neat trick. And you're like, yeah, I guess it's a trick. I don't know. So,
and Ron Howard is also super nice. I actually very literally ran into him at DD. I came around the corner too fast and I smacked right into him.
Oh my gosh. I did that once with Jimmy Iovine.
Did you really?
Yes. He was not amused.
It's happened. It's funny. That's you've done that. My wife has actually ran into Will Smith. Same thing. She just ran into him and he's like towering over her. Like,
oh my gosh.
Him.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ron Howard is also another guy who's super, super kind and humble and very collaborative as well. Right.
Yeah. Very. And just, he's a good listener too. Mm-hmm. And willing to just be open, you know, and when we were at that first round table, you know, it's one of those moments, at least for me, I just remember this moment, you know, this is neat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We had fun. Yeah.
That's
and then
so
where did we go from there? It's weird. It's always weird going over my like life story very quickly. So I miss a lot of chunks and jump around.
I'm gonna, don't worry. You can jump around. It's fine if you can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were still at Arsenal, but you guys had moved, you said, to a new place. So you outgrew the space or something?
Yep.
Okay.
We outgrew it. It got kind of annoying. I actually liked the space. It's always weird when you're in a, as you know, like when you're in a company and then it moves, it really changes the dynamic of the company. Mm-hmm. And it spread, the new place spread everybody out. So it was very, it was a nice space, but it was weird.
Right.
So we moved and, it was nice for me. I got my own office and I was like, okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
But
you're still
did.
Focused on motion graphics now, right? You're still sort of looking at that area and more of a creative director at this point, I guess, right?
I was. Oh, definitely. Yeah. No, by then, definitely creative director. And, it was a nice jumping point because I kind of got the best of both worlds for me because I don't want to have to decide, even though I'm so inclined to the design and being a typophile and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I still love... Yeah. And I still love the VFX part of stuff. You know, I like being able to change things convincingly.
Right.
So we got to do that, and Arsenal still held on to its flame side of things. And I tried it. We did a lot of spec spots just for fun to see what we could do. We did a Lexus spot, a couple of them. Okay. And what else did we do there? Nike spec. What else was there? I should just open the website, but anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. So we had a CG team. We kept building it out. We got more episodic work.
Yep.
And then I souped my first and I think only movie, The Call.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, that was fun. Halle Berry's cool. I liked her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And,
nice.
It's one of those situations that I found often, like people get directors to like get to this point where, they're not hurried, but they need a solution quickly. They realized they got to a point where they didn't have a VFX soup. Oh, one of these would be super handy. Why don't we find someone?
Uh-huh.
And then there's me who typically does not look like whatever people think in their head as a VFX soup. They think I'm wardrobe. Oh, go that way.
Really?
Yeah. It's happened so many times.
Really?
But you win them over and you gain their trust. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know what you're doing.
Do you think that is a persona that, like, you know, you've been struggling with as a woman in visual effects, that, like, women leadership stuff?
Oh, definitely. 100%. Yeah. I mean, the worst is with, what did we do? It was an HP spot that we did jumping back to Demo 2.
Mm-hmm.
It was a holiday HP spot. It was a big one. And the director refused to acknowledge me, even though I'm the one to, I did everything. I'm giving you the answers,
Right.
It's so weird. And then there was another one on Oroweet. We had a lot of things. There was, there's cleanup, all that stuff, CG sims of exploding oats everywhere.
Right.
And, they don't remember. They just don't remember. They're like, oh, wait, so where are you supposed to go? Oh, you're supposed to go over there. And you're like, no, I'm not. I am the VFX soup right here. It's weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
Almost like you have to wear a hat that said, I am the VFX soup.
Oh, I've been tempted. And then you start thinking about your outfit. You're like, what looks more VFX-y? I don't know.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
What screams?
Yeah. I can't imagine. I mean, I've never had that issue. I mean, I've been on set a whole bunch myself, but I can't imagine that is just really a shame that people think that way, know I talked to Janelle Croshaw and she had a hard time too with some of that stuff. Do you know Janelle?
I've met her many times. Like, I wouldn't say that I know her, but we've met. Yeah.
And she also had, it was interesting, especially when she was a supervisor, and I'm curious about this on your side. But she had a hard time sometimes with telling people what to do, like in post. Like, people just wouldn't take her advice very well. Or they say, just because you said something was wrong, they'll be very upset at you because you said something's wrong.
And I never really talk about it because I feel like it's I never want to harp on that card because I think, well, you know, I can get past it. It's sure. not a thing, but then it does become a thing. And I found it time and time again, you know, and sometimes it's really easy to get over that hump. Like I did another project for Springs Preserve mm-hmm. and this place, this sanctuary place in Las Vegas. And it was, you know, another one of those, you got to think really fast. We're getting plates. It's a combo of animation and the CG. So let's shoot this, this, and this, and the backups or whatever. And, you know, it was a big team or bigger team, and they just look at you sideways. Like, but by the end, I was so proud of it because I just won them over, and they're like, VFX queen.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So what, like, whatever. What do you have to do to win them over? Like, is there something that you could tell people, like, okay, if you want to win over someone and realize that you're an authority, especially as a woman in visual effects, like what do you have to do to make that happen besides just being really aggressive? Because some people feel like you just have to be very aggressive.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the right way to go either. You know?
Nope. No. And I've learned that. It's deep down, and this is going to sound super cheeseball, deep down, knowing that you're right. Being open, but knowing that you're right. And if somebody doesn't listen to you, you just repeat it. And you repeat it, and you repeat it. Because right. if you're right, that's the outcome. You know, and right. sometimes people have to prove themselves wrong. And you're like, and I've done that too. And they're like, I don't want to say I told you so, but,
right.
you know, I told you so.
Right.
And, sometimes you just need to go through that to make people respect you, you know, right. and there are times when you just have to deliver a project and show that you can do darn good work. You right. know, you got the chops
right,
and then
right.
people have to see it. I don't know. It's weird. It's very weird.
Yeah. It's not fair. I think it's not fair. It's a subject I've covered a few times on the podcast about how those types of, you know, clicks happen, especially in visual effects, because visual effects tends to be very male oriented mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. It's gotten much better, but it's definitely more male oriented. I realized there's most of the very talented people in terms of compositing or motion graphics, et cetera, mm-hmm. that tends to be much more female centric in some ways.
Yeah.
And women are better in a lot of cases. And I actually think it's physiological because I think women have a better, better tuned to detecting color than men can.
I think that's scientifically proven too.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like they can tune color like much better than men can. Men can do pretty good with contrast, but women are much better at color. And I think that that's a big, that's a good advantage that you have in that field. And I think it's really good. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely proven itself. And that's maybe why I gravitated initially so much towards compositing.
Right.
Because it's, you know, to me, it's like what I've always done, like painting, you know,
right.
and organizing the colors. And so much of it is obviously color composition and, you know, so natural.
Actually. All right. So where were we? We were at The Call, you said the movie was called? Right.
The Call. Yeah.
Yeah.
in the giant call center, walking in there and be like, I know it's movie magic, but this I whispered that purposely.
right.
But we got it done and it worked out. You know, there was a big sponsor being some phone company, you know, a lot of makeup fixing because they couldn't get it to work when people got, what's the girl's name? She got punched and thrown in a trunk and they're like, okay. I don't think I ever went to theaters to see the movie, but it was fun. It was a fun process and the people were very cool, but I just remember walking that first day and thinking, oh my gosh, we have a lot of work to do.
Right.
yeah
how long just was the project for?
It was fast. It was a couple months, you know.
Okay.
And then we had trailing shots for what seemed like forever. I don't even remember now.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, so that was your first feature film.
yep
yeah
And then what did we do? I'm trying to think of anything else that was actually in that time span. But anyway, I'll move forward from there.
Okay.
If I remember something, I'll go back. time warp.
Yeah.
Eventually, I realized it was time, you know, to move on. And I decided to go back to freelance and just mm-hmm. seeing what I could do.
Mm-hmm.
And my first job was on an Apple project.
Okay.
Of course, like everybody else. No. Yeah. It was for the launch of the watch. And we did all of the little butterflies. So the little screen.
Nice.
Yeah. So we animated a ton of butterflies. And that was also another, for me, a click moment.
Okay.
Because it was design in utility and tech. And for me, that was really fun.
Right.
You know, I still love commercials and movies and all that, of course, but it was a different venue. And I thought, oh, this is cool. Like, there's a lot you could make for this other world at the time.
Right. Right.
So we animated all of these butterflies and they were, well, they started at 10K, but really they were supposed to be the size of a watch.
You know? Right. Yep.
That's a lot of effort to shove into a tiny little watch.
10K? Really? You had to make them 10K?
Yeah. We eventually sized them down to 1080 square foot. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So this was at the keynote, I'm assuming. And it was shown at the keynote for the whole mm-hmm. launch ring. Right. Nothing.
Yeah. It was in the keynote and they put them in billboards everywhere and you see them on commercials and you're like, oh, there's my... I knew all the names. It was so weird.
You knew? Oh, you had names for all the butterflies, of course?
Oh, yeah. It was like, oh, look, there's A. Luna today. There's, I don't know, Diametris or something. Hanging out on Wilshire. Cool. Yeah. And, yeah, so then where did we go from there? And that was with Chapeau, early iteration of Chapeau.
Okay.
So
this was a different company, right?
Yeah, so Jump, that was a different company who I then from there started a long relationship with, and I'm there
you
now.
You are currently there at Chapeau.
I'm currently there. So it's like a roundabout story to end up there. So that was my first job with them. And then I ended up going to Tool for a while, and again, more online visual weird storytelling for Land Rover.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a lot of online content and things like that. So I just, you know, they're like, hey, just make these scenarios on a Land Rover on a cliff. And it was this narrated story, but coincided with a actual book.
Okay.
So I was making the scenes that coincided with the book. And that was fun. It was just making up a world in Scotland.
Okay.
You know, following these little maps and you're like, oh, here's one scene. And, you know, there's another, but it was neat. And they, the same thing, they look and they're like, oh, you can do all those things, you know? Okay. So let's,
and you're going back to your roots of cars.
I know, going back to the car roots.
Yeah.
And that plus a bunch of other stuff. And then it pulled me back. There was, a Facebook project that came up and that's what got me back. I mean, it was between Tool and Chapeau at the time, but mm-hmm. Everybody has seen them. These Facebook videos that are like friendversary, birthday, you get them in your Facebook profile.
Oh, yeah.
So this is another evolution of my, I don't know, my career, whatever you call it, my thinking. So what they needed was, they being Facebook, needed a video composited in one layer that they could then send to millions of people.
Right.
And they're like, how do we do that?
Right.
And I said, oh, okay, so how do we do this? And that was my compositing background then, you know, on hyperdrive, my brain. And so what ended up happening was, you know, we made the video, tracked all the things. And the first iteration was this mobile that nobody ever saw because they only aired it in the UK as a test, and it broke the servers. UK Facebook servers went down.
Okay.
And But it was really neat because I learned a lot in that moment that, you know, we spend so much time making things perfect, of course, mm-hmm. or at least for me, because I'm definitely not a perfectionist type. But mm-hmm. then seeing all these photos that had to be completely modular, this mobile of all these photos that could change on a whim, you know, mm-hmm. it's anybody's photos who could go in there. So yeah. how do you make it all look good? You know, right. and it becomes this game of averages, which was really interesting to me. And you give them the base layer, a photo layer, and then like a lighting layer, I guess. So it was like okay. layers, not one. But the fun part was just sitting with Facebook and then all of a sudden working with their engineers to figure out how you composite that in one layer. Like mm-hmm. where do the photos go? And so I gave them projects that then they turned into scripts and actually went up there and sat with them to make sure that the stuff worked.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, because I guess you got to take whatever picture is out of someone's Facebook feed and then mm-hmm. place it and then transform it into place, right? Because that's basically what it is, how you yeah. composite it, right? So it's, yeah. you created a script to composite it on the web, I guess, right?
Yeah, basically. It goes right. through this renderer that then composites everything together and right. aggregates the photos for whomever,
right?
Which isn't always correct because you get people who are either deceased or divorced or and they're like, why would I want to see that person on my mobile?
Oh, wow.
yeah. So then you're like, you know, you work with it and limit it and all that stuff.
It's, right.
It was such a strange process, but that was fun. It was using another part of my brain that I just never thought I would be pursuing.
Yeah.
So we did three more of those.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm sure those are still around right now, right? People still get those.
Yeah. Yeah. they sure do. And you kind of only need to see it once and you're like, okay, cool. I get it. You know?
But is kind of amazing how much of your work, now that you're just sort of playing it out there, how much of your work has been seen by so many people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, I'm not a flashy person, but it's a lot of work that's been out there. You know, I think, what have I done? And then you say, yeah, I guess it has been seen.
millions of people. Millions.
Yeah. And that the engineer that I worked with at Facebook, and again, it's like, you know, I haven't been there for a while now, but what I'm told is, you know, we set up that way of working there. And now with that script and all that, they've developed a department out of it.
Right.
You know, now they have this whole thing and it's like, oh that's cool.
right.
I mean, I'm not there, but, you know, but it set a precedent for them.
Yeah, you set a precedent and you basically, there's enough of that going around now that people are making a ton of that content, right? So
yeah,
which is really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. So that's it was a new genre for me that I think it pulled me away from doing the traditional commercials and things like that. I really saw this as an opportunity to do just other things. Like people want content elsewhere. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of it is on social media, of course.
Right.
You know, and people are eating constantly,
right.
visually eating rather.
Right.
You know, so it's, there's a lot of junk, but you can make some really cool stuff if you think hard enough, I guess.
Well, it's true because I think, you know, when you and I were back at Sway, I mean, this commercials mm-hmm. were still a really big deal. People were spending a lot of money on commercials, right? And Super Bowl time was huge, you know, and today, you know, we're in the era of cord cutting and very few people are watching TV anymore. So the only way you're getting, you know, content is through, like you say, social media and stuff like that. So
yeah.
you get shorter commercials, but there's also, I mean, there's still a ton of content that needs to be made. It's just not traditional commercials, right?
Yeah, it's not the same. And I remember the first version of that, it was with Tool, because I did a lot of work with Tool after that Facebook thing as well.
Okay.
And Google was doing their, which is now defunct, but these feed spots when they had Google Feed.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if anybody saw them. I mean, I saw them online. Okay. They became online ads. But the first notion on these spots was like, we want something that's raw. Like we want something that's lo-fi.
Okay.
And to me, I think lo-fi, but then refined lo-fi, like designed lo-fi.
Right.
So, no, just really lo-fi. It's not lo-fi enough. And so we did all these Stranger Things animations, and it was all these mixtures of your favorite things. So you pick three and then mush it together and see what you get visually.
Okay.
So one was astronauts, Stranger Things, and I forget what the third was. Well, waffles is already part of Stranger Things. Anyway, so, you know, I find myself having to do something really fast, mm-hmm. but then just make it kind of crappy. I don't know. But you have to do it in a funny way. I was like, that was my first time I remember having to just really let go of making it perfect, you know, because you kind of just have to let the visuals succumb to the process a little bit. So, yeah.
It's not just putting a filter on top to make it look like it was a TV ad, right?
Nope. Or a glitch or something.
Yeah. Well, that was interesting. So feed it. I don't think I remember those spots, but okay.
It wouldn't be on your radar, I think, or, you know, I don't think you need Google feed.
Okay. So what happened after that?
So then, I jumped around a little bit more. I went to Logan and there was Tool. I started doing a lot of remote work because Nathan and I still had our company.
Right.
So we were doing that on the side, but I really just liked the experiences of different companies and, you know, you always learn.
Sure.
And I decided to go to Beats, by Dre, which is weird because Beats, you know, previously we had done a lot of work with them as well at Arsenal.
Right.
A lot of headphones and a lot of, you know, just ads and things like that. Beauty work, like product beauties.
So you were working directly for them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it in Culver City?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Right by
they're
you.
They're right next door to me.
Oh, they're next
literally,
door.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so it's God. Literally the building next door is the Beats building.
Oh my gosh. So I was there for a couple years. So I was so close to you.
Right.
Go figure.
Yeah. That's funny. What year was this?
So I started and it's on and off because, you know, I went away for a couple different projects and then came back. So it was 2016 to the end of 2018.
Yeah. So I was definitely here.
Yeah.
On
yeah,
Stellar Avenue, right?
Yep.
And there you go.
Gosh.
That's funny. That's funny. So you were working with them. You were doing Beats commercials and stuff like that. And I guess, well, Dre wasn't really involved, I guess, at that point.
When, you know, that's no, I mean, he would come in every once in a while or something. Right. But yeah, it's I would never see him.
Right.
Yeah. You know? Right. And I think by the time I got there, they had kind of a leadership change a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had worked for them before that, of course, as a vendor, but then being in-house, it was nice. It was nice. The changes were good and it was pretty chill, but,
what is it like to do in-house stuff as opposed to being a client or working for a client? It must be different, right? So you have a little bit more direct line to who you need to talk to, right?
Yeah. It was interesting because, it's definitely an agency mentality in a sense with a chunk of post-production.
Okay.
Cause obviously they format all the production, but,
right.
So that was interesting. And I would do, of course, a lot of the graphics and the type design and all that. So, you know, there's so many deliverables delivering all the time, you know,
right.
You get a campaign and you kind of internally pitch what might be used. So, you know, you have this overarching theme or couple, mm-hmm.
Right.
And you're like, oh, well, we have this footage. We could turn this into a commercial, or it could be an online thing, or we can make posters, or it could be an OOH situation. You know, you could put it on a stadium.
Okay.
So I did a lot of those. I did my first go there was October. So then I started with the Christmas campaigns.
Okay.
It was fun. Right. You know, you just do all sorts of different stuff.
Right.
And then the nice thing is that you kind of get to sketch your own ideas out. Like if you see something that might work, then you just kind of go for it.
Okay.
So we took footage from, it was one of the fighters or something, you know, just did tests and they either get picked up or they don't. So they might've used it for some stuff. I went on vacation, so I never knew,
right.
But I kept the pieces. And then when I came back, we did like a full on campaign, and that was fun because I did a lot of art direction there, and you know, then you're the one farming it out to Method or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a lot of work, but it was a great experience. I got, to be quite honest, a bit burnt out by the end, but
yeah,
so it was nice to see something from literally start to finish, though. You know, it was, you know, from inception to execution. And we did a bunch of stuff for the World Cup at the time, and, you know, pieces that I actually really like. So, yeah.
Okay.
That is fun. Yeah. And you move, again, it's a situation where you're moving very quickly. You have the editorial, you're dealing with CG, you know, old assets, new assets, evergreen assets, like, you know, yeah. Which one's which? Do you like this one? Is the logo right on this one? I don't know, you know, so it's, you're constantly, you have to stay super organized. And then, you know, you finally deliver the US version. But as we all know, they have to be localized. So then 22 languages later, you're like, ah, you know.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just dealing with a lot of teams.
Yeah, deliverables is ridiculous. I think I had. Did you work with me when we did the intro, the beginning of 21 when we were at Sway?
Yeah.
Okay. You remember Gray Marshall, who was the super?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah,
so
he's been on this podcast. I've had him on, and he was talking about, because he's now a big shot colorist, right? So, and he's done the color for nearly every Marvel film. And so he was talking,
awesome.
He's talking about how many deliverables you have for like a Marvel spot. Every language, every format, DVD, Blu-ray, 3D, 3D laser, 3D HDR, like every kind of combination. It's unbelievable how much deliverables you had.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I feel so lucky now that, you know, because I remember back in the day when you had to deliver stuff, like, I mean, nowhere near the number that he is doing. But the day, and one of those was on a beat spot at Arsenal, but the day we could upload a commercial to whatever that service was called.
Right.
I'm like, oh, we don't have to put it on a beta. We don't have to do anything.
That's right. It's just
it was
there.
Such a novelty. And I remember it paused in the middle of the upload. And we're like, and we have like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It was.
You can do that with a movie now. You can just literally FTP the movie up, and then all of the theaters, they literally just play it off the server. Like, that's the way it works. It's crazy.
That's nuts. We just worked on a cute documentary, The Donut King.
Oh, okay.
And I learned a bit about that with the whole DCP process and all that stuff.
Right.
And I was like, oh, this is a thing. You know, I never gave it much thought. And then, you know, a lot of QC and who's going to do it. Is it here? Is it at the theater? Like, yeah. You know, but that was fun, you know, a lot lower stakes, you know, not a Marvel movie, but it's fun.
Yeah. But just the idea of deliverables is like, it's a lot. You just, because like, all right, we finished shots. Like, yeah, but you have to deliver it 25 times, you know, or whatever.
Yes.
It is, you know,
25 times. It's the most anticlimactic process ever.
Yep.
You know, there's, it's like, no, you didn't. Actually, you didn't deliver a thing. You delivered one thing.
You delivered one thing.
You have 24 more to go.
Yeah, exactly. 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 Well, cool. Yeah. So what? So where do you go from there? Let's see. You how did you said you mentioned you did just recently. You must have done that documentary, right?
Yeah, that was just recently. And that was animations, MoGraph stuff.
Okay.
A little bit of cleanup and VFX, but I've done a couple of documentaries. I also did Selma, The Bridge to the Bell. That was just my own thing, or independently.
Yeah.
I really like that title sequence. That was fun. And what else? Yeah. Well, the current iteration of Chapeau is its own thing. Like, that's been a whole different work world for me, or like just learning a lot there in terms of pitching and even like newer ideas, thinking ahead.
Well, tell people a little bit about Chapeau. So tell them a little bit about what that is.
Yeah, it's how do you say it so people understand? It's a little bit of a think tank with VFX roots.
Okay.
And we kind of function as an agency mentality. That's my goal. Like, it's, I'm trying to get them to think in a more creative fashion, smart creative. And so we often kind of function as an agency's think tank, as seems to be the case nowadays for some reason.
Okay.
So agencies have ideas or they want to pitch or something like that, which, you know, a lot of people do, but it's something that they've either never done before, they need to learn how to do it, or, you know, just what are your ideas? Let us know.
Okay.
And, you know, that could be a pitch for the Lucas Museum website, which we did.
Okay.
Oh, and right. Yeah. And that was really interesting because, you know, I had never personally built a website to that scale, but obviously my colleagues had. And, but thinking about what people really need, and as, you know, an avid museum person.
Okay.
And lover of films, like, where's the happy medium? So it's another like conundrum that you have to solve.
Right.
Yeah. And then the whole just pivoting, another world is UGCs, you know, user-generated content.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of companies are starting to get into that world. Car companies, everybody wants a version of it, especially in retail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had pitched to Nike and just, you know, just a lot of think tank stuff, which mm-hmm. is really, really fun.
Sounds more
me.
Like an agency, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's definitely right. An agency. I'm trying to think. We've since done, we still do commercials though. We've done a Hitachi commercial and what else is there? A lot of T-Mobile stuff.
Right.
You know, so, you know, the bread and butter things.
Sure.
And, but my favorite thing is just the forward thinking stuff. Cause I like just literally problem solving. I think that goes through all of my work, but this is, you know, problems we don't see yet.
Yeah. 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 I bet.
Yeah.
Well, that's so really amazing.
Amorphous.
That's really cool. So how long is Chateau? I mean, you said you were there. This is your second stint at Chateau, at Chapeau, right?
Yeah. So I was at Beats, like I said, until 2018,
mm-hmm.
the end of 2018. And then I decided to go back. They said, hey, you know, we need a proper creative director. And I said, why not? You know,
okay.
Let's do this.
All right.
And so that's what we've been kind of working out ever since, just, you know, trying to stretch the Chapeau portfolio in different ways and again, really getting back to that agency mentality. And it's been nice for me because it's a way I like to work personally.
Okay.
You know, I've stepped far away from the VFX stuff.
Yeah.
So it's been a lot more work in the whole MoGraph design, all of that, which I strangely found is been a request from a lot of people. Like once they find out that you know type, in a sense, font uh-huh. design and all that, they're like, it's something I guess that's very needed. As I found myself looking for teams, you're like, it's a whole other genre. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think it's really cool to be a creative person and sort of have a strong knowledge of both motion graphics and visual effects, because when you come up with an idea, you're also coming up with like, how are you going to pull it off? You know, you kind of,
yeah.
Like, you know, right.
Constantly.
Do you think that's actually a limitation? Like, do you think sometimes like, well, I don't know how I'm going to do that, so I won't do that, or you know what I mean?
It's funny because I think about that a lot. Like if you okay. get an idea, the request to make an idea is, I just had to do this. We did some New Yorker pitches and it was kind of a free for all moment, you mm-hmm. know, and you're like, okay, so what would I do? And right. how do I not hinder myself?
Right.
And that I totally asked myself that question. And I think at the end of the day, what I had to do was just, what do I want to see and be happy with that? You know, right. what would I watch? And I know it's such a fundamental question, but like, or basic question, but it's just, why am I doing this otherwise? You know,
right.
I want to see what I want to see. With respect to the client, of course, you have to be respectful of everyone's point of view, but
sure,
it's a huge question. Otherwise, you'll get stuck in that hamster wheel of, well, I can't do this if I don't have that, and I can't do that if I don't have that. Yeah.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
And then you become that person who's like, well, I don't know how we're going to do that, so we won't do that. But someone yeah. else may have an idea, and yep. you should let that person decide that, you know?
Yeah.
I can imagine.
And it's funny too that you mentioned that, because I used to be that person,
right.
you know, I used to be the policeman of, well, we're just going to end up in that rabbit hole if we do that, you know, so let's just not,
right.
you know, but at the end of the day, you, within reason, mm-hmm. you have to know, don't limit it, you know, find that out later, because you don't want to kill the job before you start it.
Right.
And as people who are, I guess technically, and it's changing, but we're in a service industry, as I found from artists, like when I've talked to them, like, do what you think at this point, because it's either I have a lack of time mm-hmm. or resources and we need to move quickly. And they're like, well, but how can we do that? Like they wouldn't, the boards I saw don't have that line in it or whatever. I'm like,
right.
It's not about what the client wants right now. We just have to do what's smart. So it's okay. Like, don't let your hands be tied, literally.
Right.
And I'll get the question again. But the clients, no, just go for it. It's okay.
Right.
Just go for it, you know?
Yeah.
But I found that experience a lot. And I catch myself doing that. So
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes, you know, sometimes the client could ask for something, but you give them something that's a little bit different. And it's like, oh, well, that's an even better version of what I was thinking, you know? And that's, yeah. If you just.
That's exactly it, though.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
I keep using this saying, is like, if in Henry Ford, is like, if I gave people what they wanted, they would ask for a faster horse, right?
Yeah. That's exactly it.
It's like, but what if we did something completely different? It's like, oh, I didn't even know that's possible. Exactly. You know, so.
Yeah. It's a fine balance of how can you do it better?
Right.
You know, better is subjective, of course.
Right.
But how do you get the best version of that idea without hindering yourself? And if you don't know what that is, then it's okay that you have a really awesome horse.
Right.
You don't have to have the T model yet, or Model T, whatever.
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Accepting that.
So this is what we're all caught up with you now at this point, right? So this is what you're doing, is you're constantly creating and doing stuff. That's awesome. Well, your work is really incredible. The fact that it's been out there and seen by so many people is really cool. And obviously, you're still very passionate about it. Do you still paint?
I do.
Good.
I do. And I did skip over a big section of the past 3 years too.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead.
Shoving it all in there. which is not the, I felt fancy last year for like all of 4 hours.
Okay.
Nathan and I have done, the Oscars broadcast, which was fun.
Nice.
And we finally got to go. Last year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I could send you a funny picture, but, you know, I only bring it up because that is another exercise in a ton of deliverables, and two, that free for all moment. But, mm-hmm. you know, design wise, they're very strict, you know, like people are afraid to go out, yet they want something new every time.
Right.
And that for me was a very interesting experience because, you know, especially last year, it was just, you know, how do we get this farther? Like, I just want to do something different, and so does everybody else. But we had a lot of fun just getting it done, and all the custom, like, you know, the things they put up on the screen and seeing your work big, and going there, and that kind of coordination with the proscenium and your work.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's a monster project for sure.
So this is the first year we didn't do it in a few years. So,
Oh, really? How long have you been doing them?
We've done 3 or 4 of them. Like when we first started, though, we were just doing part of it. We didn't have the whole thing. So then we did 3 of them. Yeah, skipping 1 year.
Wow, that's a big thing. Yeah.
So, yeah. And then going and you're like, wow, I have nothing to do with any of these people, but it looks fun.
Nice.
Wear some fancy shoes.
Nice shoes. That's good.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Well, believe it or not, as you can tell, we're just about an hour, which is perfect.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
It went quickly, yeah, didn't
totally. It? It did. There's so much to catch up on. It's one thing I have to say. I'm not one to talk about myself, so it's very hard to get it out.
It's all right. I think everyone has a hard time doing that, but I think it's really cool to let people know about your experiences and how you got to where you are. And keep creating things and learning from everything you've done in the past and bringing mm-hmm. that all together. So it's a really cool thing for sure.
Yeah, it's fun. And getting back to my roots, like you asked about painting, do I still paint? And I didn't for so long, just straight up painting. Mm-hmm. And doing that has taught me so many more lessons about myself, you know, because you think, to me, I didn't do it because I felt like painting was such a selfish thing if I was just sitting there taking time to go do it.
Right.
But you problem solve a lot faster when you take the time to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So, man.
Well, cool. Thank you, Lauren, so much for doing this, being my inaugural remote podcast, which I don't normally do them this way, but, you know, we're in difficult times right now. So unfortunately we're not able to see each other in person, but we definitely need to catch up. Where is Chapeau located, by the way? Is it in Santa Monica area, somewhere around there?
It's in Mar Vista.
Oh, Mar Vista. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yep. So it's not that far. So hopefully someday we'll be able to see each other in person, because it's been way too long.
I know. It's been so long. So it's cool that you do this though. how long have you had the podcast for?
5.5 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Hardcore. Almost 300 episodes.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's been going on for a while and it's pretty cool. It's popular. I didn't know this was a skill that I had, you know, interviewing people. Like, I was like, I'm just going to try this. It'll be fun. And then it turns out like, no, it's a big deal now. I was like, oh, okay. So now I got to keep doing it. And so then when self-quarantining started to come out, I was like, well, how am I going to do it? Because I always do them in person. So I had to come up with a different solution. So this seems to be working. So that's good. And I'll keep it up.
It does. I was so impressed. Like I'm better off not knowing like anything about anything or anybody, but I did look at the podcast, of course.
Right.
The caliber of people that you have up here. I'm just honored to be on that list. It's like, oh, wow, this is hardcore. This is real.
No. I was very, very happy to have you on. I mean, I was looking at it. It's like, I got to have Lauren. And I've been wanting to have you on for a while, but it's just been hard to catch up with people. So but now I can finally do it. So
And this way.
And this way. There he goes.
Yeah.
And it sounds good. Sounds good. All right. Well, Lauren, thank you so much.